Hi, everyone, and welcome to Words of Wellness, the podcast for anyone interested in the ways we think, talk, and write about wellness. Why do we use so many motifs like journeys, gardens, even battles when we talk about wellness? How do writers explain science and wellness concepts? How can we make sense of the wellness information overload we all face? These are the kinds of questions we explore. I'm Daniel Anderson, and we're coming to you from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Today, we have a special book talk episode in store. Our guests are Sydney Cummings discussing Stop Overthinking, 23 Techniques to Relieve Stress, Stop Negative Spirals, Declutter Your Mind, and Focus on the Present. Meg Jenkins with the book Being Peace. Arnav Garg looking at the Tao Te Ching. Andy Pita will take us through the Pocket Thomas Merton. And Manny Williams with The Gifts of Imperfection, Let Go of Who You Think You're Supposed to Be and Embrace Who You Are, Your Guide to a Wholehearted Life. Let's get started.
Hi, so we are the Spiritual Wellness Group, and I have four of my colleagues with me, and we all read different wellness books. So we're going to talk about our books as individuals and how that relates to spiritual wellness. But for right now, if you could introduce yourself and give a brief summary of your book before we move on.
So my name is Meg. My book is Being Peace by Thich Nhat Hanh. And my book is pretty much about finding peace within yourself and learning how to deal with certain issues that will cause you, like, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but like issues that are going to cause you conflict in your life. It's about finding that peace within yourself, learning about like compassion, and learning about like how mindful you are of like your own actions and like how aware you are of your peace.
My name is Manny, and my book was The Gift of Imperfection by Brené Brown. And she really dove into the like perfectionistic culture that's developed in our society and how to take a step back from that and find meaning and purpose that's unrelated from your achievements and your productivity.
Oh, my name is Arnav, and my book was Tao Te Ching. It focuses on Taoist philosophy, and this kind of has a huge connection with nature. A lot of the principles that he talks about, he connects with nature very well. For example, like effortless action, leadership and humility, and like opposites and balance.
My name is Andy. The book I read was The Pocket Thomas Merton. It's a collection of Thomas Merton's works. He was a Christian monk, and the book just goes through many of his like philosophies and anecdotes regarding the world and religion.
Hi, I'm Sydney. My book is, the title of it is super long, so I'm only going to say the full title once. It is Stop Overthinking, 23 Techniques to Relieve Stress, Stop Negative Spirals, Declutter Your Mind, and Focus on the Present, The Path to Calm. And my book basically was just that. It was a bullet point, how to throw a bunch of ideas at you, ways to exactly stop that overthinking, bring yourself back to the present. We had, 100 wellness books on that original list. What made you choose the book that you chose?
I chose the book that I chose because I've read about different types of philosophy, and Stoicism is like a big thing that I've been reading about recently. And, you know, this was similar to that in some senses. I just took a quick glance over the synopsis, and it resonated well in that sense. So it was something that just continued on to the path of reading and learning more about philosophy in general.
I think I chose my book because I've heard of Brené Brown before. I feel like I've come across a lot of quotes that she said, and I always thought she was really smart and had some cool things to say. So I wanted to read a whole book of hers. And also, I think that it is very hard to not tie your self-worth to what you can accomplish. So I was just curious to be like, what is the alternative? Because I think it's really easier said than done in when everyone else is in society set up for your worth to be attached to those things.
I chose my book because I feel like it resonates with the current events that are going on. Like being in college, there are going to be a lot of stressful moments and like stressful times in your life, and learning how to deal with those within yourself is something that I think a lot of like students could really benefit from. And I think a lot of people would find it like really helpful to learn how to handle those stressful moments and like anxiety inducing moments.
Manny, mine was, my idea for choosing it was really similar to yours. I think I had, again, Nick Trenton's 23 Techniques. Going from high school to college, everyone says it's a big change. And I think going from, like, changing the rigor of your courses from high school to college is a big deal. And I think finding ways to stop those negative feelings is really important for success in the future.
Mm-hmm. I chose my book almost exclusively because I thought that the author, Thomas Merton, seemed really interesting. He was a monk and a hermit. He was a social activist, a political activist. He has some really interesting ideas about reaching the boundary between religions. And yeah, just very interesting.
So we talked about why you chose it. What did you like? What did you not like about it? Your books. I can go. I liked how simplistic mine was. For as long as the title was, I thought it was very cut and dry. Like, you can do this, you can do that, you can do this. But I think that was also a negative, as I feel we've talked about authenticity in this class. And I think that's also what made Nick Trenton's book not very authentic. I think some of the techniques such as meditation, which we'll get into later, or simply sitting outside in the sun is stuff that you can Google if you have a really long list, something that's just not very
up. Mine is similar. Like something I really liked about it is it gave you almost like a list of things that you can do to help be more like peaceful and like in your own mind. And some of that is just like breathe consciously. And it's, yes, that's very useful and stuff. But I feel like the book was also just very vague in its directions, and it didn't give any scientific stuff behind the suggestions. It just told you normal stuff that I feel like you could Google and stuff that's pretty easy to figure out yourself. But I do think that overall it was like a really good book because it does help you go a little bit deeper into each kind of listed thing. But yeah, I agree with what you said.
So do you guys think like your books are just checklists of things that you could do if something goes wrong?
I think mine was made super simplistic that it's almost diminishing that it's not that, if that makes sense. I think they put it very, Nick Trenton put it very elementary to where it's almost diminishing like the reality of it, if that makes sense.
I feel like a lot of the time, because the wellness book industry is very saturated, there's so many self-help books out there. I feel like people try and make their books stand out by being like, cure yourself fast, 5 easy right. ways. And they like put numbers attached to it to make you like choose the quick fix. But I think the reality is there is no quick fix. And that's what I liked about my book is that Brené Brown talked about, she called it her like spiritual unraveling when she decided that she wanted to quit her perfectionism and cultivate a more healthy mindset. And she went to her therapist and asked for like steps to fix herself. And her therapist was like, that's just not how that works. And so I think what's cool about my book is that it's not really like steps, but it's more like she speaks very conversationally. And so it, as you get going, like it's as if like her voice becomes your inner voice, and she demonstrates how to have that like positive inner voice. Cause I know a lot of the time, like people's like inner voices can be that inner critic. And so it's a good demonstration of what it's like to talk to yourself in a kind way.
That's really insightful. Like how you said, what she's saying becomes your own inner voice.
Yeah,
I feel like my book wasn't necessarily like a checklist in any sense. It was very like connection based and okay, how do I connect my thoughts with things that are like materialistically real? Because we have to realize everything we're thinking about is just, it's literally just all in our head. When you're able to ground it on something like, for example, nature that we know is physically there, it's the same for everyone in the world. It helps you just move slowly and think very positively over different things that are going on in life.
I really enjoyed the content of my novel, but I feel like the structure was a little lacking. It's a chopped up collection of many of Thomas Merton's longer volumes and ordered as the editor thought made sense. So it's a lot of like pieces that got taken out of context. And it's just like the short bursts of content that's interesting, but not really centered in anything.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. It's like the discussion just ends. It's some like really thought-provoking point, and then it's just over, it's next on to the next thing. And it's just, there's just not enough time to think about it, and there's not enough rephrasing to see different angles.
Absolutely. And I feel like wellness books, like you've said, there's thousands of them now, and I think their authors are looking for ways to make them different. But I think a theme that we've noticed across all of our books that we've talked in class would be metaphors. Did your book use any metaphors? If so, what were they? And do you think they were effective?
I think one that really stood out to me is when she said, like, perfectionism is like lugging around a 20-pound shield. And I thought that was cool because it put in the perspective that people like develop all these perfectionistic tendencies and they think it's to protect them. And they think all the anxiety is to like, oh, if I think of it first, then it won't be as bad when it actually happens. And like thinking of all those worst case scenarios. But what she's saying is that carrying all those burdens and expectations is actually very tiring and doesn't actually help you, because how much is something going to help you if you're like dragging it along with you? And it's like her whole point is that 20-pound shield is not actually protecting you, but weighing you down and preventing you from achieving everything you can and being your best, most truest self.
So would you say it was effective?
I think so.
I think my book has this big overarching metaphor of connecting yourself to like nature and things in nature. And so like it talks about how you can't really have like peace out in the outside world until you have peace within yourself. And then it uses things like it talks about like the sun and like the environmental like kind of positives that you can go outside and do. And it really connects it to like whenever you are feeling like stressful or like anxiety on the inside, it's like almost like the outside and like the nature part just doesn't seem as appealing. And then it also flips it around and helps it to where it seems like nature also helps you like de-stress and helps you find more peace like within yourself. So I feel like mine's an overarching metaphor comparing like yourself to nature and like the peacefulness of the outdoors, like within the peacefulness of yourself.
Yeah, that definitely connects with some of the topics in my book. One example was like acting in harmony with nature without like excessive force or struggle. It was, yeah, similar to that, just going with the natural flow of things. Like, speaking of like flow and like nature, do you guys think sometimes like you can go with the flow in college life, but while you're also like doing your work? I'm trying to say, while you're still trying to be productive, but like you really just like, go with the flow. Is that something you guys have found a balance with? Or
I think it totally depends on the kind of person you are. I think you're what we call type A or type B, and type A people usually aren't. They're like, and there's no right or wrong to this, but it's either you like to have a plan, you need to know what you're doing, what time, where you're going, and other people aren't that way. And it's totally a different lifestyle. And I think your question totally depends on the person.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I had a very simplistic metaphor going back to that conversation in mind. Like I said, my whole book was very simplistic. But Nick Trenton talked about our like fearful and anxious emotions, that if they're in the car with us, they're in the passenger seat. They're not in the driver's seat. And clearly, and it said that those emotions, those negative emotions, don't get to dictate where we're going. And I think we can make the connection there, but that we need to have control of our lives. Our negative emotions shouldn't be controlling our lives. And I think it was effective for people to understand the connection, but I think it was ineffective, like I said before, in simplifying how complicated those emotions can be.
Yeah.
Do you think that your book's diminished things like that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand. I don't think so. I think like the way that my book is written, it's written like 1,000 years ago or something, but it's like these thoughts and like these social things are honestly so prevalent in today's day and age. And it's such a privilege that we have these problems, honestly, to, wow, like my bad emotions are really hunking me down to it. That's a huge privilege. That's the hardest like problem that we have for the day. And so what he talks about is not necessarily like these simple thoughts on a day-to-day basis, but more so how we can just like ground ourselves and connect with nature on like in a lifestyle perspective, like over time. What do y'all think?
I definitely agree with that. I think my book also, by virtue of being older and more like philosophical and spiritual, like connects a lot to what your book was about. Yeah. My book opens with, quote, "The purpose of a book of meditations is to teach you how to think and not to do your thinking for you." I think it speaks for itself.
Yeah, that's well stated.
I want to go back to your earlier question about going through life and the flow of it, because part of it was saying you go through life and you wake up and you go to work and you go home and maybe go to the gym, but you're too tired, but you go anyway, and then you'll try and watch TV and disconnect from stress of work, whatever. And she just emphasized the rat race that you are in, just trying to go through the motions every day, and like how a lot of the time when you're experiencing doubt or negative emotions, like one of the best things you can do is just stop for 5 minutes and just think to yourself, like, am I happy right now? Is this like fulfilling me? And yeah, just a lot of the times, like your gut is so powerful. And a lot of the times we like feed ourselves different stories and justify different things. But if you really sit with yourself and ask yourself
what feels good for me and what do I need to be doing. A lot of the times the answers are like really in yourself. People are just too scared or too busy to sit with that and think about what really is important to them and what really would help them lead the most authentic and fulfilling lives.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like that relates specifically to college because we're in a silo where everyone's super high achieving. Everyone's always trying to do more, build their career. We often forget that like where we are is really good. We've done a lot of work. And if you have that grounding and you understand the amount of work that you've done and you're proud of it, it really helps push you to do more and motivates you to do other things without thinking that you're like lacking in substance.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I think that this generation, is myself included, is so quick to look at the negative and only the negative. Yeah. And I think that's why people pick up wellness books, is they're looking for some sort of quick fix or some sort of explanation for why they're thinking this way. And I think that's why we've also, this generation has been in the conversation of wellness books. And that's why wellness books have thrived in this generation as well, is because I think we're so hyper fixated on the negative.
Yeah.
I feel like also what's helped them thrive in our generation is that we're in the generation of like convenience. And so everything just comes like the touch of your fingers and like the swipe of a button. So I feel like we're very like predisposed to like seeking out things that just come quick and are quick fixes. But I think it's a nice awakening to be like, oh, something so important like your like spiritual and mental well-being is not something you can just like at the snap of your fingers fix. It's like a process and a deep mindset shift that you have to undergo.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in order for us to talk about spiritual wellness in our books, I feel like we have to define spiritual wellness. So books aside, how would you guys define spiritual wellness?
I feel like that's hard because I feel like spiritual wellness can be such a broad topic. And I think it really just depends on who you are as a person and what ways will help you find your own peace. Because I know everyone has like their different practices and stuff like that. So for some people, like having spiritual wellness could be just like meditation techniques. And then for other people, it could be like, I don't know, practicing their religion, like stuff like that. So I feel like it's a very like spiritual and wellness when I think about it. It just seems very vague. It seems like a topic that kind of people need to figure out within themselves, like what their own spiritual wellness kind of means to them.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think when people think spiritual wellness, they think religion, and I don't think it has to always be that way.
Yeah, I think like spiritual wellness, like spirit is related to your ideas. As you said, like finding your purpose, figuring out like who you are, like what role do you want to play.
So going back to the books, did your book focus on spiritual wellness or did it tap a little bit into spiritual wellness?
I think my book did because, like I said, I feel like spiritual wellness is finding what works best for you. And my book talked a lot about getting to know yourself first before you try and understand the outside world. Because if you don't really know who you are, like the world's just not going to be like a very positive place. And so it talks about like understanding yourself and then finding techniques that will help you stay calm, help you de-stress and like stuff. And a lot of the techniques I feel like can work for a lot of different types of people. And there are also multiple techniques that you can use if you are like, I feel like a type A versus type B person. Like there are different things for everyone. So I feel like my book did a pretty good job on that. Yeah.
Can you go more in depth of some examples of that?
Yeah. I feel like for type A people, one of the examples would be just to take a deep breath, because type A people can get hyper fixated on doing something and get really stressed out easily, I feel like. And that was something. And for type B people, they're more relaxed, which is why like meditation was thrown out there for that. And I feel like that works because you're getting yourself like into a zone where you're not, your brain's not just like focusing on all these like different activities at once. And so I feel like no matter what kind of person you are, there's stuff in this book that can help calm you down and help you find peace, like within yourself.
If it was related to that, I just had something like totally random.
No, yeah.
Okay. This is like just totally random, but if you guys could choose to be like type A or type B, what would you choose? Assuming like over time, like the productivity of like your work and same, maybe it's not.
I would love to be a type B person, but I'm not. And I think with anything else, the grass is always greener, but I have I was always a type A person. And now in college, I'm definitely more in the middle, which is where I'd like to be. I think that in some aspects, in some scenarios, it's great to have a plan and it's great to know what's going on. And then there's some scenarios where it's great to just not care and say, hey, I get to it when I get to it. I'm going to do this when I do this. And that's it.
I think it's a lot easier to through the world as a type A person.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think I personally have ADHD and that makes me a type B person. But even though I want to be a type A person. But so I think that could be also hard to because it is.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel like being type B can sometimes be easier with social relationships. You're just talking to people. Just going with the flow and being easy helps you talk to people better and make plans. If you're so strict with your schedule or super fixated on something, can interrupt part of your life.
There's definitely pros and cons.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel on productivity, work, career side, our society really values you for your productivity. So I think society would want everyone to be type A and just get the most done all the time. But I think as humans, we should be more type B and just enjoy ourselves.
Yeah, no, that's about it.
I think, as you mentioned earlier, I think a type B person tends to get stressed less. So in regards to the world of mental health, I think the mental health world would support a type B person. But I don't know, maybe I'm speaking for type B people and that's not true. Andy, I know your book, probably out of all of ours, was the most in connection with spiritual wellness. Can you give us a little overview of that?
Yeah, a lot of the anecdotes were just sort of general truths. There's a lot of touching on the metaphor of real and false selves as a sort of bigger analogy for things that we should and shouldn't be focused on. And coming from the mouth of a Christian monk, a lot of his solutions, although not quite harped on so much, are meditation, our connection to spiritual things, our disregarding worldly, man-made issues. To an extent, I think you don't necessarily have to accept his sort of religious solution, but that is his impression of how to overcome just the grind and the turmoil of the world.
So would you say your book was more, the audience of your book would be more religious people?
I think it could be either one. I think that there's a lot of passages, especially the way that this book is edited, that is that there's a bunch of different sections from bigger passages cut and mixed around. So some passages go without mention of any sort of spiritual thing. And then all of a sudden it's you have to put your faith in God, something like that. And you're whoa, where did this come from? I think if you wanted to, you can turn a blind eye to it and still take a lot of deep philosophical value from the rest of it.
My book was, like I said, it was gave all these examples of ways to combat stress and anxiety and overthinking. Something as silly as taking a deep breath and identify 5 things you can see, identify 4 things you can hear, 3 things you can touch, stuff like that. It did touch a little bit spiritual wellness wise on meditation, but not in a spiritual way, more as a meditation as a way to combat stress, kind of calm yourself down. Focus yourself, hinder yourself within the present. I have a quote that says, in meditation, we cultivate awareness and come into the moment. It talked about guided imagery as well as visualization. In company with meditation, that was also really important to combat stress. I know your book talked about meditation.
Yeah, but I do think my book talked a little more about it in a religious kind of way. The man who wrote my book practices Buddhist traditions, and so he wanted to keep the authenticity within the religion. So instead of mine is also very much de-stressing, finding your peace, but it's also just because that is something that's very common within his traditions, and it's something that he practices a lot. So mine is pretty similar to yours, but it also is a little bit more on the religious and tradition side of things.
Yeah, my book didn't talk about meditation much necessarily. It just thought about I guess it could talk about the concepts and the benefits of meditations, meditation outside of meditation, right? How to ground yourself in general, how to identify simplicity and like balance like complexity of certain things. Yeah, those are the main points there. Have you guys been like applying anything from your books yet? I know it's only maybe a couple weeks.
I feel like my book, a lot of the stuff that I could apply is kind of stuff I've already been applying. Like, I feel like my book, it taught me like some new things, but it more so just reassured some of the stuff that I already knew. Cause like I said earlier, it's simple and compared to a lot of the other wellness books out there. And mine, I definitely have just already been practicing most of those things, I would say. It did help reassure that, but I don't feel like it brought me like a ton of new practices I could use.
I agree with how simplistic Nick Trenton's book was as well. I think, if anything, for me in my personal life, the book opened my eyes to be like, oh, hey, this is a stressor. This is a stressor. This is how I could meditate to combat stress. Meditation isn't my thing. But just like little things that have opened my eyes a little bit more. What about you?
Yeah, definitely like some smaller things have come up. And just going with the flow is something I think I would work on. I feel classify myself as a type A person. So trying to go with the flow and just relax and not hyper fixate on the timings on my Google Calendar. That would be definitely something that I've been trying to apply with. You said like identifying stressors or something that I talked about. Do you think that actually just adds more stress by trying to look for stressors? If you just like forgot about these things and didn't care and just did your work, like would you even think about these stressors, and does that stress you out?
Yes and no. I think if you're constantly searching for stressors, then yes.
Yeah.
And I think reading the book makes me more aware of them. And that is just another thing to think about, which is just adding to stress in itself, which is also a critique I think that this book does. Like I said earlier, is that it makes everything so simplistic when I feel like it shouldn't be.
Something I liked was that she was just like talking about like how so many people are always striving for perfection but can't even define what it is. So I think something that I've been adding to my life is like, if I see myself trying to strive for perfection, I have to step back and think about, oh, for this task, what would perfection even look like? And then I most often can't even really define it. And then I'm like, okay, and if I did get to that standard, how would that make me feel? And then I realized that I wouldn't even feel all that great. So I think it's helped me with my priorities and like how much time to spend on things and just really evaluating what actually fulfills me, because it certainly isn't striving for some unattainable expectation or goal.
Absolutely. And I understand the idea of striving, not striving for something that's unattainable. But do you ever feel like you're selling yourself short?
I think it really depends on what your like overarching kind of goal is in life. If my goal in life was to become the most successful, wealthy person and maximize my skills and capabilities, yeah, definitely I'm selling myself short. But I think my goal is to achieve more of a balance and obviously be like working towards my long-term goals and investing in myself a bit every day, but also taking time to enjoy each day and what's special about each day, because I don't even know if I'm going to be here until like I can see if those investments pay off. And I think that balance is important, because I think it would be worse to look back and realize that you didn't enjoy every day as if that was like the only day that was there.
And I think that's a mindset that you probably learned learned a little bit from the book. Mm-hmm. Andy, I know that yours was like super old and super philosophical. Is there anything that you could or would take away from that book that to implement in your personal life?
I don't really implement things so much because my book wasn't really any sort of instruction. It was really mostly just commentating on the ills of society. And these are things that permeate to this day. It is funny to see Merton complain about the news and how newspapers, you wake up and you immediately start reading newspapers and you're like, scan the newspaper mindlessly. And he would have a cow over social media and technology. So these things are still prominent to this day. Yeah, I do find myself thinking a lot about different passages of things that happened to me in my life. And it like reminds me of this passage and it makes me think a little deeper about maybe what he was talking about and how it can be applied to my life.
So I guess for the last couple minutes, if we could go around, maybe would you recommend your book as a spiritual wellness book? Would you recommend it at all? And then who is the audience, someone to buy your book?
I would recommend mine as a book and a spiritual wellness book. I think that the audience would be more of people who are just looking to live a simplistic kind of lifestyle where they're
not constantly just doing everything. This is not a book for people who have had trauma like in their life. It's more a book for people who just, if you get easily stressed out, then here's like a few things you can do, you know, wake up in the morning and think it's going to be a peaceful day, like stuff like that. And so I think that it is a good spiritual book. It is a good book overall. I just think that the audience would be people who are just looking for like little tips to help grow their mental health a little bit, but not necessarily. I don't think this is necessarily a book for if you need actual help with your mental health kind of thing.
I think my book is for anyone, really. And I think I would definitely recommend it just because she speaks so conversationally. And I think that is reflected in her authenticity score. I think she was the author out of all the books with the highest authenticity score, which I think is a big draw for the book because you don't want to feel like you're being lectured or someone's being too preachy. I think the way that she can deliver her advice in a way that's very accessible to readers, I think that is a very big draw for me. And yeah, I would definitely recommend this book.
Yeah, I definitely recommend the book for anyone who wants to get into spiritual wellness in general. I think the good audience would be anybody who has some drive to understand like philosophical understandings behind like why we're doing things. But like just generally, it's a good book. It can only help.
I also highly recommend my book for anyone who's interested in spiritual wellness or philosophical wellness. You don't necessarily have to have any sort of religion to really get meaning out of this book. Merton touches on a lot of different religious activities and behaviors. And I think it's just really good for anyone who's just disillusioned with the way that society is and the way that it's going.
Absolutely. I wouldn't call mine a spiritual wellness book. It did touch on meditation, but not in a spiritual way. It was more of a getting rid of anxiety way. I would recommend it as a mental health wellness book. Exactly what you said. Probably people with heavy baggage looking for a solution. This probably isn't the book for them, as it is super simplistic. It's, oh, I carry a lot of anxiety with me during the day. Let me find some ways to maybe combat this or maybe make myself more aware of it. I don't think people with severe trauma reading this book would find any sort of fix. In regards to spiritual wellness, I wouldn't recommend it. I think maybe your book is a better route.
This has really been an informative conversation. I feel like I've got a great sense of what these books do well and why they might be of interest to wellness readers. Thanks to Sydney, Meg, Manny, Arnav, and Andy. And thanks to our listeners. Stay tuned for another episode of Words of Wellness.